Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Now, before we talk about scoliosis, which, by the way, I have. Yep. Let's talk about Neboso. Now, we've introduced this product, I think, before. We've talked anytime about feet, and this is what Dom and I use on a regular basis, whether it's their toe separators or their recovery socks or any of their, like the NeuroBall, so good for your feet.
Yeah, this company was founded by a functional podiatrist, Dr. Emily, who we have an incredible interview with, and it just offers a bevy of incredible foot health tools. And really, one of the reasons that she loves to use these products, especially the ones that stimulate our nervous system, stimulate the receptors and the sensory receptors in our feet, because a lot of people who wear socks or shoes all day long don't necessarily get the stimulation our feet are craving so that they can keep learning and we can keep those nerves active. So right now, the sensory socks are something that I want you all to go check out. They have three different types: the foot recovery socks, studio socks that will fit in smaller shoes and also have great grippies on the bottom so that you can wear them around the house, and high knee recovery socks, which is something that Jen and I love to wear, like when we travel. Mm-hmm. We are always putting compression socks on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it starts with activating our nervous system, with getting our body to feel something different so that we create different results. So it's not just about putting something between your toes. It's not just something about putting something on your feet, but it's really getting your feet to feel a different stimulation so that we make different results. And that's really why we like Neboso. And we actually, you know, they're giving us a 15% discount for you if you use code OPTIMAL. We'll have it linked up below in the show notes as well. So you could just click the link, use code OPTIMAL at checkout, and you get 15% off anything site-wide. So this isn't specific just for the socks or the toe separators, like anything you want to check out. It has been so beneficial in so many people's lives. It's a company that's doing something different, really looking at how our muscle and nerve connection all works together in order to produce the results that we want to see in our feet and our whole body health. So go check out Neboso. Scoliosis coming back again. We actually did a podcast on this quite a long time ago. This was like when we first launched.
Episode number 9.
Number 9, when we first launched the podcast.
Like 2
Don't
weeks.
Listen to that one. You can barely hear Dom.
Yeah, some audio mishaps that were happening early on.
Very early on.
Yeah.
But anyways, we want to really break down, you know, just some understanding about scoliosis, and especially when it's related to pain, because that's when we usually hear it brought up a little bit more, you know, like, oh, I'm in pain. It must be from my scoliosis. Let's dive into that.
And that's really why anything becomes important to us on our day to day, like once it starts causing symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Or the image might actually make us start thinking certain things and feeling certain things even more. It may amplify it. And so, like, what is scoliosis? I think everyone who knows what scoliosis is or has heard of it knows it's some sort of curvature of the spine, mm-hmm. right? Because when you look at the spine from the back, it should be a straight line for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Quote unquote. And we call scoliosis this lateral curvature of the spine, but that's not it. Because the spine doesn't just operate in one plane. Mm-hmm. So if we just measure it from looking at the back, oh, yep, there's a curve laterally, we're not fully doing that justice because the spine operates in every single plane.
Yeah.
So when we get that lateral,
it shifts and it rotates.
Yep, we get rotation of the vertebra too. And so it's actually more of like this spiral curve that we start getting in the back.
Yeah. And, you know, we all have, but we could have varying degrees of scoliosis, you know, and varying places exactly where the curve is. And this is why almost anything you look up, or like whenever someone comes to me and it's like, what do I do for my scoliosis? There's not one answer, because scoliosis is so specific to the individual. It is so specific to the person because it's based on how much curve you have. It's based on how much rotation you have. Where is this curve happening? Is it happening only in one spot? Is it happening in multiple areas? Yeah. You know, like there's so much nuances from individual to individual that if someone, if you tell someone that you have scoliosis and they say, I know what to do for you.
Yeah, start doing this, 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 and this. Like,
I'd be a little worried. I'd
be a little concerned because they don't know anything specifically about you.
Yeah.
And
if that's your goal specifically is to address the scoliosis, well then...
Yeah, because we have, you know, these three major areas of the spine, like the cervical up mm-hmm. by the neck, thoracic, which is kind of in the chest area, and lumbar, which is down in our abdominal region. And we can get these varying degrees of scoliosis in one or multiple mm-hmm. areas. And, you know, for the majority of people who have scoliosis, it's what we call idiopathic, mm-hmm. which when we hear idiopathic or anatomically idiopathic scoliosis, AIS, that basically just means that, you know, we don't know the underlying cause or we don't know why this has happened. And when we look at each individual, again, like our body might adapt in that direction or, you know, in that pattern of scoliosis that we're getting for so many different reasons because mm-hmm. we all move differently. We all have, you know, different tugs and pulls and muscles that are going to be more active or less active. So that's why we call it idiopathic because we can't really say like, oh, it's these two muscles that are tight. It doesn't work that way.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, we're looking at, well, was this structurally how you were born? Like, is it congenitally, you know, how your structure kind of is or functionally? And a lot of people fall into that functional category of, yeah. you know, it's kind of developed over time. It's something based on habitual positioning that we put our bodies in, or we've been a professional athlete or even just an athlete in general, always doing something to one side, say a throwing athlete, right? Yeah. Always going to the right side, a kicking athlete. You know, we have these different tendencies that we've built up within our body, and based on those continual pulls and continual need of our body to go in one direction, we could start developing some differences. And this is why it's even quote unquote normal, right? Well, pretty much. And this is even what we learned in PT school. Oh, you're right-handed, your right shoulder is going to be lower. That's normal, right? Yeah. And that is like a classic sign kind of some functional scoliosis is we see some uneven, you know, shoulders. We might see some differences in your sides. We might see like around your rib cage, we might see like more of a prominence on one side more than the other, or even from the front, you might notice like, especially for a woman, that a chest, maybe it looks and appears that one breast is bigger than the other because of that curve and that rotation of the spine.
Yeah. And coming back around to like when this becomes important is when people feel pain or people yeah. tend to start feeling pain or it's affecting their daily activities. And there was a study that we looked at that's, you know, imaged a bunch of people, and only 31% or around mm-hmm. one third of the people who had measurable scoliosis were presenting with back pain. Mm-hmm. So again, many people who do have scoliosis, like yourself, don't have consistent back pain symptoms.
Yeah, at all. I mean, and I never measured my curve. All I did was get an x-ray of my spine by chance. This was only because I taught Pilates in a chiropractic office at the time. Mm. And they were like, it was like year later. And they're like, do you want a free evaluation? I'm like, sure. You know? And so they finally did the x-ray of my spine. And I thought it was a joke that
that's not my spine.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was going through PT school that we did more findings when I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, I see all these differences within my body or posturally how I look. But the fact is I was competing in calisthenics. I was learning acro yoga. I was becoming stronger in my strength training practice yeah. as well. So I'm loading under barbells. I'm bending my spine all crazy directions and doing a lot of different things that sometimes when people hear, oh, you have scoliosis, don't load the spine, you yeah. know, which is insane to me.
Yeah, don't load the spine, which means don't ever carry groceries, don't ever pick up your child, your dog. Yeah, don't pick up anything.
Yeah.
Don't stand or walk or go upstairs.
Because the moment you stand up, pace. You're loading your spine.
Yeah, so it's really hard to hear that as like a primary recommendation because again, like, although we call it idiopathic, which again, the word means like, we don't know. We don't know what caused it. It doesn't mean there isn't anything that caused it. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean there isn't anything that you can do or you can do to connect to your body differently yeah. to start supporting that spine internally. Because a lot of the, you know, once we start you know, someone gets this diagnosis, they get a measurement of the curve, which again, the measurement they do is called a Cobb angle. And all that does is it measures the lateral curve, which we kind of mentioned at the beginning, like the spine operates in all three planes of movement. So just taking a lateral measurement doesn't...
isn't the full picture.
Doesn't give us the full story because there's that rotation component. There's so much more going on in the spine. And so the question is like, what next? Like there's conservative treatment options, there's bracing, or there's surgery.
Yeah. And that's where we kind of want to lean into, right? And talk about all these differences. In general, though, what we're seeing is like, especially those who have curves anywhere from that are, have been measured and been told to anywhere from like 20 to 40%. I mean, and then yes, less, but say you fall between that 20 to 40%. A lot of times surgery is really not recommended, and you can get so much help from conservative treatment, especially if your goal is function and pain. I know that when I did one of my recent lectures kind of within our Gen Health chats, we talked about imbalances within the body, and someone that I had brought up, I wish I would have looked up his name before we went on this podcast, but hopefully we'll throw up a photo of him. He's an incredible, he's one of the world's best bodybuilders. And he has a significant curve. I mean, you can, you don't need an x-ray to see his curve. It is like very prominent, but he is one of the strongest men alive. And he didn't have back pain. He didn't let it, you know, stop him, and he continued to go. Now, does that mean he didn't have bouts of back pain? I don't know. But he continued to lift and get super strong and didn't let that hold him back from being able to do what he ultimately wanted to do.
Yeah, a lot of people, once we hear, oh, you have scoliosis, oh, don't load your spine, these different messages, like it kind of pins us into the hole, and we start identifying with that, oh, I have scoliosis, I can't do these things, I can't do this, 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 and this, rather than saying, okay, what can I do to start supporting my body better, supporting my body differently, addressing some of the back pain or symptoms I might be feeling, and become empowered within that, because there are so many examples of people that do live with significant curves that have very minimal or no symptoms and live very functional, purposeful lives. And kind of one more thing on the surgery conversation is there was this, a study showed
that was a good one.
You know, there were a lot of people that did get surgery, you know, to, and basically what surgery is, it's stabilization. So they fuse, they either put rods in, most of the time they put these rods in the portion of the back that was, that had the curve. And they fuse it for a stabilization surgery. And the research kind of said, like, in the immediate, so immediately after the surgery and the initial recovery period, there was some benefit for different pain measurements. But on a 20-year follow-up, there were clinical findings and clinical significance to reductions in function and increased pain. And there was a decent number of people that actually had to have a secondary surgery or another surgery. I think it said like 6 to 29%. So this must have been some sort of meta-analysis that was looking at different studies, but almost up to a quarter of people that had to have another surgery. And down the road, so if we're doing something looking at, you know, long term, how can we long term feel better, you know, these studies showed that surgery really wasn't the answer.
So it's interesting too when we talk about this study, because I remember a particular patient that I had a while ago, but she was in like her mid to late 20s, I want to say.
When you were seeing her?
When I was seeing her. But she had her spine fused when she was a child. And I want to say probably around 12 years old. And she had her mid back, so her thoracic spine kind of fused so that it would help with the progression of scoliosis, right? Yeah. However, despite that, she still, like, you could tell significantly, like, her shoulders were super uneven. She couldn't move from her upper back, which is where we want to get a lot of movement
from. Yeah, a lot of rotation, extension.
So now she has to use all her movement from her lumbar spine and SI area, and that's where she would get severe pain. And I'm talking to the point where her nerves were so sensitized that her foot would start to, like, contract,
like claw and retract a little bit,
and like, and when she would dance and stuff, she couldn't get one of her arms to get into full flexion by her ear. So she would have to like really try to bend from her spine wherever she had in order to kind of fake that motion. And so she had significant issues in her body because of the surgery that fused things down, and she couldn't get as much movement. And she had to stop dancing, you know, and this is someone 10 plus years later. So imagine what's going to happen 20 plus years. And it's just, and it's so sad to me, like, especially what we see from the research nowadays is that if we do start at adolescence, not from surgery.
Especially since she was 12 years old, like the body's still so plastic.
Adaptable.
And has that neuroadaptability.
Yeah. So if we start from a younger age and actually start to do these conservative treatments that we're going to talk about, you can actually potentially reduce that Cobb angle, is what some studies were saying, and start to, I mean, increase your function and appearance and self-esteem and psychology, like so much more.
Which I think those are even the most important measures. Like,
yes,
if you were to do these studies before and after and not even tell people if their angle improved,
right,
but just take measurements on, okay, has the pain improved? Yes. Do you feel happier about being able to dance without pain, or being able to go out to your, you know, dances with your friends and stuff and like enjoy yourself? Yes. Do you feel more functional, you know, without the symptoms? Yes. Like, if you're improving in all those areas, does the angle really matter anymore?
It really doesn't.
Does the image and how that looks really matter anymore?
Right.
Like, it shouldn't. You know, I feel like in our medical society, we've become kind of image obsessed, and we like to show people the image before we ask them the questions about function and pain and purpose, you know, and if we rather focused on those first things, like, okay, function, pain, purpose, how are we doing in these categories? Great. Like, why ever even look at the image?
Exactly. I think that's so incredibly important. And what we've seen, so there's this particular method that people who have scoliosis may have heard of. The Schroth method.
Schroth.
I can never say things right.
The Schroth method.
And I mean, really, ultimately, their goal, trying to create that spinal awareness, that spinal stabilization, and try to prevent the future or the furthering of your scoliosis and your scoliotic curve. And they do this a lot through postural positioning and really using some awareness techniques of where my body is in space. So if my pelvis is tilted, how, what does it feel like to come into a more neutral position? What does it feel like to try to traction and elongate my spine and put it, quote unquote, back into a straight neutral position? And then how do I use my breath to kind of control where my rib cage is and that spinal curvature? So it's, and they use different push and pull methods, again, depending on where this curve is and what's happening. But there has been really good results, like continuously with using this method that they see from, like, you know, whether that's, I mean, one example was like looking at a 5-year-old, and it was like, even after a 8-week progression of this, like how much improvement just looking at his body, you know, had made.
And I think that's important too, because a lot of the times, you know, everyone might remember doing these tests when you're in like your middle school ages or your early teens, where they're kind of screening people
for the
potential of scoliosis, where you bend over and they look at your back to see if you do have that prominence on your ribs or, you know, a lot of like unevenness. And that's when we say like, oh, scoliosis tends to start developing in those adolescent years. But the earlier we can catch it, the more the body has that ability to adapt and to change. And the reason that we really liked when we read this study on the Schroth method was that it really had to do with connecting on, you know, like teaching your body and becoming more aware of those areas that you felt a lot of tightness or felt a lot of restriction, getting into those positions and then breathing in it. Because when you get into a position and take deep, deep breaths into your nose and try to expand through that rib cage, you can do so much internal kind of stretching to further your body's ability to connect and make yourself feel safe in those positions. Because again, our body's adapting for a certain reason. Usually our body does it to try and find stability and safety. So how can we then push into the areas we're restricted in, use our breath to get that internal stretch to move into those ranges a little bit more, but also tell our brain, like, hey, it's safe for us to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so incredibly important. One way that we can even start to do that right now. So wherever you are, if you're listening, say you're even driving, you can still do this. So if you were to find kind of sit up, I wouldn't like sit back, but kind of sit up, and you can even just reach one arm forward. So think of your shoulder blade kind of pressing forward. Don't round into your spine and don't like turn your body, but just think of reaching that shoulder blade forward. Now hold that position, maybe even push the back elbow back or the back arm back.
So if you're driving, make sure you keep your knee on the steering wheel.
Make sure the passenger is doing this. Yeah. Okay. So as you're pressing back and down with one arm and then forward with the other shoulder blade, take a deep, deep breath from the side of the rib cage. So breathing in, breathing out, and try to hold those positions even further. So reach forward, reach back. Try it again. And what you kind of notice there is, or maybe hopefully, is as you breathe in, you might notice a little bit more attention to the shoulder blade that was kind of moved forward, the arm that was reaching forward, because we get a little bit more space where we can move the back of that rib cage and the sides of that rib cage. We get a little bit more mobilization in the front of the rib cage on the other side, right? So we start to kind of move and mobilize that rib cage just by doing breathing. And one thing that I had met someone years ago, and he said, oh, you have scoliosis, like we got to get you laying on, you know, kind of like dowels for the neck, but it was like more dowels for the body. And that's great, but we always want to think, if we're just laying on something passively, what happens when I get up and I move and I go back to my everyday known movement patterns and structures of movement? Like, yeah. What I like about this method, in though it's so incredibly specific and I don't know,
yeah, we're not trained in it.
We're not trained in it, right? It's so, so incredibly specific. This is why we're not going to give you examples of it. You have to work with someone in person, like we kind of said at the start of the podcast. But I do appreciate that it is movement and breath based. It is putting your body in positions that you have to feel yourself. You have to hold, you have to rotate, you have to manipulate your body. And you start to build proprioceptive patterning within your body to be able to control new ranges of motion and control your body in a little, in just different ways. And I think that is the most powerful thing we can do if you have these differences, yeah, or imbalances within the body.
Because even in the Schroff method, they use different dowels, they use, yeah, different like bolsters to like put under certain curves. And again, like it becomes very specific depending on if you have a thoracic curve, if you, yeah, have a thoracic and a lumbar curve. There was a lot of positioning to like make the initial progressions more comfortable, but then I liked it because they would take one of them out and, mm-hmm, say, okay, now try getting into that more on your own, mm-hmm, without
now
this bolster
it,
here.
Yeah.
And now hold it and now breathe into it.
Yeah.
And they were so focused on getting people in these positions and then having them breathe.
Yes.
Which, again, that's where the power comes in, because you start to consciously connect yourself more with that range of motion yourself, make your body feel more safe and supported within that.
Yeah. And even a more popular technique, they did a study looking at this Schroth.
Schroth.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
Schroth method and Pilates. Many of us know Pilates a little bit better, right? We're thinking of that core stability. We're thinking of almost that dancer-like movement with some of this core control. That's what I think a lot of people think of Pilates of, you know, and they did both of these. I can't remember how long they did them for, but they measured it at the end for the Cobb angle, actually did reduce in both.
In both of them, yeah.
Yeah, in both of them, which is amazing. But still, the Schroth method was just a little bit more effective at decreasing that angle of the curve.
Which makes sense, because it's more specific.
And exactly.
The people are like specifically tailoring the exercises to address, you know, where those curves are. But I like that it shows that Pilates could be effective too, because,
yeah,
a lot of what Pilates does is it brings awareness back to the body.
Yeah.
And it brings awareness back to positioning.
Yes.
And again, like, you know, if you've listened to any of our podcasts, we are not posture or position obsessed. We don't believe there's one specific posture everyone, mm-hmm, needs to be in, because everyone's body is slightly different. And, mm-hmm, especially in a scoliosis, you know, example, like the curve may never go away. The curve may never reduce. Mm-hmm. But again, if we can connect more to those different positions, ability to control into the those positions and go into them more consistently throughout the day and feel safer and move more freely amongst them, like that's the goal. So that's where I feel like, you know, modalities or classes like Pilates or yoga, you know, mm-hmm. different types of yoga could be very effective in helping connect you more with the areas and ranges of your body you struggle with, but also help you safely explore them.
Yeah. And if we're looking at like just a basic treatment protocol that they kind of wrote out based on a case study, looking at someone in pain with scoliosis. So say mm-hmm. that you're at the point of like your back is starting to spasm, you're in so much pain, right? Our first phase of action, so they kind of went through five phases. The first phase was really, okay, how do we create relaxation within the body to get those spasms
step
down?
Step one, calm it down.
Do some passive range of motion, which we actually did a podcast all on back spasms before. So you can listen back and we talk about a lot of relaxation techniques to help with that. Phase two kind of ran into wearing a brace and also getting some manual treatment. Now, we've also talked about manual treatment. All that's going to do is start to talk to our nervous system to help to relax muscles so that we can get back into functional movement again.
It's almost like phase two of calming it down. Like
yes.
Then you get somebody who can apply some manual treatment to really calm down the areas of the body that have so much tension in them. And that can be very valuable to then move into phase three, which is where we start to develop some of that core stabilization ourselves, mm-hmm. where we explore different pelvic positionings.
Or from our diaphragm, you know, that inner core that we always talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then going into just, you know, some activations, like how do I connect to my core when I'm doing exercises that are more focused on the front, so laying on my back, and how do I connect to my core even going into more of a back extension, but still maintaining this diaphragm pressure, this pelvic floor, like how do I connect all of this in doing different front and back movements? And then they go into phase four where they say, okay, now let's start kind of stretching our extensors, getting things to calm down. So all the way from the neck to the back, doing some forward and lateral bending and going in more range of motion.
Yeah, continuing to progress the range of motion, you know, part of the equation. And then stage five was strengthening, you know, starting to strengthen within that, find good functional strength, a lot of scapular stability, which is, you know, a lot of shoulder blade movement. What we were just showing you, or that example, was kind mm-hmm. of using scapular protraction on one side, pushing that shoulder blade forward, scapular retraction on the other side. You can do elevation and depression and mm-hmm. go opposites. And these five phases, I love it because it really follows the, you know, the common thread of what we always say, like one, calm it down, mm-hmm. two, start to get range of motion, mm-hmm. you know, whether that be passively or using, you know, external techniques like manual foam rolling, if that can help, then getting into active range of motion, getting a little more, you know, aggressive with pushing into that end range, and then strengthening, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of, you see that progression in so much of what we talk about. Make sure you find the mobility and then strengthen it. And then that's where it's going to translate more into function.
Exactly. And ultimately, like, especially when it comes to something like scoliosis, no one is going to put you back into place. You're not going to get this special manual treatment. You're not going to get this incredible manipulation. If that did help you,
great.
Well, then it talked to your nervous system to help you to calm down those certain muscles that were pulling in a certain way.
Yeah, now use that relaxation to do some of what we're talking about.
Do some strengthening and stability. We have to get strength within our body. We have to start moving things differently. And so that's ultimately what's so important. I think sometimes we get robbed by we're thinking, oh, I have to go to this person because they're going to put me back into place. Well, make sure that they're giving you an active treatment to get yourself, quote unquote, back into place. We're not out of place. If you're moving, if you're doing life, you're not out of place. Your body is just pulling in different directions, mm-hmm. which isn't necessarily and always a bad thing. We can still create stability and strength on these curves. And going back to that example from that powerlifter or that bodybuilder, had incredible, incredible strength. One of the strongest men alive. And you know, had this severe scoliosis. So he said, here's my scoliosis curve. Not going to change it. I'm older. Oh, well, I'm going to get strong. And and he got strong within his range of motion and within his capacity that he had available. And that's everything. When we build strength upon our body, we create safety within our body. And we're saying, hey, you're strong, you're safe, you're stable. And that always has progressive layers to it and might look different from person to person. But also, like, there are so many different methods to scoliosis treatment.
Yeah, I mean, you got this Schroth method, and I feel like the Schroth method sounds very similar to something like postural restoration.
PRI.
PRI. Also different, just like PNF techniques, like proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation. there's other things, and these aren't even scoliosis specific, the ones I'm listing off now, but they're just things that help us explore the different tugs and pulls on our body, explore where we might be tight in our muscular system, in our nervous system, and how that might be developing different tightnesses. There's also different scoliosis specific certifications like the Leon, the C's, BSPTS, the DoboMed, SideShift, FITS. So there's all these different techniques that people might have certifications in. We didn't look in specifically to what each of those do. But again, like, my intuition would say a lot of them just are basically helping facilitate us to get into the ranges that we're uncomfortable in.
Yes.
And then how do we find stability within those and the ability
and
build
to build that awareness in them.
Yeah, build awareness in them and operate slightly more functionally within those ranges.
And there's probably others that we didn't name, so don't come at us. Okay, there's so many there's so many out there. I've had so many, you know, every time we talk about scoliosis, I have someone say, "Oh, well, did you try this method? It's the best method."
Yeah.
And again, if it's best for you, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, these, like, methods wouldn't exist if they didn't work
exactly
for someone.
So there, just know that there's more than one way to achieve your goal, to achieve a new range of motion, to achieve a new strength, to achieve a new posture. There's so many different methods out there. There's no one method. We don't believe in that. We're the Optimal Body Podcast because there's no one optimal body for anyone. We say that at the very beginning. So there's no one way to create this change and effect. And I've had, in fact, other people who've sent me photos of them from doing our plans and said, "Oh my gosh, look at the difference between my shoulders." And I say, "Oh my gosh, that's amazing."
Well, because your plan, like the full body mobility plan, which we're doing, you know, the full body mobility challenge on Gen Health right now, you can always still come sign up, start the full body mobility plan with us. It basically helps you just explore all ranges,
and
upper body,
into
lower
all of
body,
them.
Spinal, full body, and we continue to coach breathing through all of them, and it's going to help you become aware of those areas that you're slightly more restricted or need a little bit more attention. Mm-hmm. And so whatever you can do in your life that helps you go through that exact process, that's the best method for you.
Exactly. Consistency, exploration, finding new ranges and challenging new ranges, challenging your body to be able to learn just where it is in space and be able to function more optimally.
Thanks for joining us for another PT Pearl. If you know somebody with scoliosis, if this is something that a family member or a friend is going through, please pass this along so they can hear this message. Also, again, if you're interested in joining us with that full body mobility challenge on Gen Health, you can get in with the link down in the show notes. There's a free week so you can come explore with us for a free week and then join the community and join us through this whole month of movement in January. We're starting off the year strong to set up a sustainable pattern to continue to find your optimal body. Of course, if you can, leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform, and we will see you next time.